Welcome to Audit IQ Update for July 29th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We have a packed week to cover, and I want to start with something that should be at the very top of every Adobe Commerce and Magento merchant's priority list right now. On July 14th, Adobe released Security Bulletin APS B2673, and this one is significant. The patch addresses 14 distinct vulnerabilities across Adobe Commerce and Magento open source, and 8 of those 14 are rated critical. We're talking about arbitrary code execution, privilege escalation, and security feature bypass. These aren't minor issues, or these are the exact attack vectors that enable mage cart-style card skimming, customer data theft, and full storefront compromise. Now, if you've already patched, good. But here's the question I want you to sit with. What happened before you patched? Because the nature of these vulnerabilities, particularly the arbitrary code execution ones, means that an attacker could have injected malicious code into your storefront at any point while those vulnerabilities were exploitable. Patching closes the door, but it doesn't tell you whether someone already walked through it. And this isn't happening in isolation. The broader security landscape across e-commerce platforms is intensifying in a way that I think a lot of merchants aren't fully appreciating. PatchStack reported that the WordPress ecosystem saw over 11,300 new vulnerabilities in 2025, which was a 42% increase over the previous year. WordFence tracked 207 new WordPress vulnerabilities in just the single week of July 6th to 12th this year. And WooCommerce specifically saw CVE-2026-1268-84, an authentication bypass flaw that allows unauthenticated attackers to compromise customer accounts. So whether you're on Adobe Commerce, WooCommerce, or frankly any platform that relies on extensions and third-party integrations, the attack surface is growing faster than most security review cycles can keep up with. The point I want to make here isn't that you should panic. It's that periodic security reviews, even quarterly ones, are no longer sufficient as a standalone strategy. When 14 critical vulnerabilities can drop in a single bulletin, you need to be watching your storefront continuously, looking for the symptoms of compromise, unexpected scripts on checkout pages, unfamiliar network requests, content changes that don't match a deployment. That's the operational shift that the APS B2673 bulletin should be driving. Now let me shift to something completely different, but equally important for the medium and long term, and that's the emergence of Generative Engine Optimization, or GEO, as a real operational concern for e-commerce merchants. This has moved well beyond the theoretical stage this month. On July 14th, a research paper called EGAO was updated on AR CurveVats. EGEO stands for a testbed for generative engine optimization in e-commerce, and it's the first large-scale academic benchmark specifically designed to measure how product content performs in AI search engines. The dataset contains over 13,700 realistic, multi-sentence consumer product queries matched with Amazon listings, and the researchers evaluated how different AI models select and rank products when generating shopping recommendations. Why does this matter to you as a merchant? Because it gives us hard evidence about what makes a product page citable by AI engines like ChatGPT, Google AI Mode, and Perplexity. And the evidence aligns with what industry practitioners have been observing. According to research by SE Ranking and a study published on SSRN by Fishman this year, 65% of pages cited by Google AI Mode include structured data. A separate study by Growth Marshall, looking at 730 ChatGPT citations, found that 71% of cited pages use schema markup. Let me repeat those numbers because they matter. 65% and 71%. If your product pages don't have accurate, complete structured data, you are effectively invisible in AI-generated search results. And this is the channel that's growing fastest. When a consumer asks an AI, "What's the best noise-cancelling headphone for commuting under $300? The AI doesn't browse your store. It reads your structured data, extracts the facts, and decides whether to cite you. If your product schema, your offer schema, your review schema aren't there or aren't accurate, you don't get cited. It's that simple. But here's what makes this a monitoring problem and not just a marketing project. Structured data breaks silently. When a product goes out of stock and the offer schema still says in stock, no error appears. When a price changes in your back end but the cached JSON LD on the product page serves the old price, no alarm goes off. When a theme update accidentally strips a review schema from your product template, nobody notices until weeks later when your AI visibility drops. These are everyday operational realities on dynamic e-commerce stores, and they make continuous monitoring of structured data integrity as important as monitoring uptime. Now, staying with the Google ecosystem, I need to cover a development from last week that has very real, very immediate revenue implications for any merchant advertising in the European Economic Area. Google has been progressively enforcing its EU user consent policy, and as of late July, the enforcement has teeth. Google is now actively disabling conversion tracking, remarketing, and personalized ads for websites that are not properly implementing Consent Mode V2. We talked about the June 15th GA4 consent mode change a couple of weeks ago, where ad storage became the sole controller of how GA4 shares data with Google Ads. What's happened since is that Google has moved from gentle warnings to active enforcement. If your consent banner doesn't correctly signal consent decisions to Google's tags, you are now losing conversion data. Not might lose, are losing right now. The reports from advertisers in the EEA are stark. Some are seeing conversion tracking drop by 30% or more, and the insidious part is that this doesn't generate an error message. Your Google Ads account doesn't say, "Warning, you're not tracking conversions." It just quietly stops recording them. Your ROAS calculations become unreliable. Your smart bidding algorithms start making decisions based on incomplete data. Your remarketing audiences shrink. All of this happens silently. And I want to connect this to a practical point about monitoring. The way to verify whether your consent implementation is working correctly is to test it from the customer's perspective. Load your storefront, interact with the consent banner, and check whether the correct consent signals are being passed to Google's tags. Specifically, you need to verify the GCS and GCD parameters in the network requests going to Google. If those parameters indicate that ED storage consent hasn't been granted when it should have been, you have a problem that's costing you money every single day. This is exactly the kind of customer-facing, behavior-level issue that server-side monitoring misses entirely. Your server is fine. Your GTM container is loaded. But the consent banner timing, the tag firing sequence, the parameter values in the outgoing requests, these are all things that can only be verified by monitoring what actually happens in a real browser session. Let me pivot now to Shopify, where July has brought several updates that merchants need to be aware of. The biggest operational change went live on July the 1st, when the EU ended its €150 duty-free threshold for low-value parcels. Shopify has added support for collecting the new €3 customs duty. But merchants who sell to European customers need to verify that their checkout is correctly applying and displaying these charges. A misconfigured duty calculation doesn't just create customer confusion. It can result in shipments being held at customs, delivery delays, and the kind of post-purchase support burden that erodes customer lifetime value. On the shipping cost side, USPS raised ground advantage rates by 11.8% in July, which is a significant increase that flows directly into checkout totals. If your shipping rate tables haven't been updated, your customers are either seeing inaccurate rates or you're absorbing cost increases you didn't plan for. Either way, it's a checkout experience issue that affects conversion and margin. There's also an interesting Shopify developer change I want to flag. In API version 2026.10, invalid metafield queries in the GraphQL admin API now return errors instead of silently returning incorrect results. This is actually a good change, but it means that any integration relying on Metafield queries with invalid filters will break when it hits the new API version. If you're using apps or custom integrations that query Metafields, you'll want to test them against the new API version before your store is automatically migrated. Now, let me spend a few minutes on Core Web Vitals, because there's a data point from this month that I think puts the e-commerce performance conversation into useful perspective. According to the Chrome UX report data from May 2026, only 55.9% of all tracked origins pass all three Core Web Vitals. Another analysis from PageSpeed Matters, covering 13.75 million sites, puts the pass rate even lower at 49.1%. What this means is that roughly half of all websites are failing to meet Google's own performance thresholds. For e-commerce stores, which tend to have heavier pages due to product images, third-party scripts, and dynamic content, the pass rate is likely lower still. And the conversion impact is well documented. A 1 second delay in page load reduces conversions by approximately 7%, and improving Core Web Vitals has been shown to increase conversion rates by 15% or more. The metric I want to highlight specifically is INP, Interaction to Next Paint, which replaced First Input Delay in March 2024. INP measures responsiveness across the entire page interaction, not just the first click. For e-commerce stores, this matters because it captures the sluggishness that shoppers experience when they click Add to Cart, select a product variant, or interact with filters on a category page. INP pass rates are actually relatively high at around 86%, but that global average masks significant variation. Stores with heavy third-party JavaScript, lots of dynamic product interactions, and complex checkout flows are much more likely to fail INP. And those are exactly the stores where the conversion impact is highest. The broader point here is that Core Web Vitals have become a dual-channel signal. They affect your traditional SEO rankings through Google's page experience signals, and they also affect your AI search visibility, because generative engines are less likely to fully render and cite slow-loading pages. Performance monitoring that relies solely on synthetic lab tests, running Lighthouse in a controlled environment, misses the real user experience. What matters is what your actual customers experience on their actual devices. And that's only visible through real user monitoring or continuous storefront monitoring that tests from a customer's perspective. Before I wrap up, I want to touch briefly on the competitive landscape in e-commerce monitoring, because there's been some interesting movement this month. We're seeing several monitoring tools expand their positioning from narrow error tracking into broader e-commerce analytics. The market is recognizing that siloed tools, one for errors, one for performance, one for analytics, don't give merchants the unified view they need. The challenge is that most of these tools were built for engineering teams, not for e-commerce operators. What this means for merchants is that the monitoring category is maturing, and the tools that will win are the ones that connect the dots between a script error on a checkout page, a conversion rate drop in your analytics, and a revenue impact on your bottom line, all in one place without requiring a developer to interpret the results. The question isn't whether you need monitoring anymore, it's whether your monitoring tells you what to do. And if I step back and look at the themes across everything we've covered today, there's a common thread. Adobe's critical security patch, the GEO structured data requirements, Google's consent mode enforcement, Shopify's regulatory and pricing changes, Core Web Vitals benchmarks, they all point in the same direction. The customer-facing layer of your e-commerce store has become the most consequential surface to monitor. It's where security compromises manifest. It's where structured data breaks. It's where consent implementations fail. It's where checkout calculations go wrong. And it's where performance problems cost you revenue. The infrastructure layer matters. Of course it does. But the storefront, the thing your customer actually sees and interacts with, is where the money is made or lost. Monitoring it continuously is no longer optional. It's the operational discipline that separates merchants who react to problems from merchants who catch them before customers notice. That's your Audit IQ update for July 29th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.